Moneyinthebank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Deebler.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, the Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked the good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, 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 Dear Kitty, Kitty,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here. American Dream.
He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. He's just a common man.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to bear friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin'.
Yes, yes, we are here. We are here live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can join in on the fun, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, or join us in our interactive chat room at wildtalkradio.com. Just click the live button and you can join us and interact with us and say comments as we go throughout the evening here on The Rack.
Just keep in mind, if you get out of line, you go to the corner.
Yes.
King Kittens, we're looking at you.
Yeah, so behave, or you will be sent to the corner.
You will be sent to the corner, but we have a lot to get into in tonight's show. We are talking about Money in the Bank. We've got to talk about NXT. We, of course, have the fabulous Christopher Daniels. He will be joining us later in the show. But we also have news we have to get into, and it's pretty big, so we're just going to kind of jump into it. And it's brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. So I don't even know how to say this because it's still so jarring, but, and I hate opening a show like this, but we've lost another one. A true legend has gone in Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Earlier this afternoon, we learned that Dusty Rhodes had passed away at the age of 69. This is a man who dined with kings and queens. He even held court in the back of a pickup truck. You ever want to remember that time?
I remember that.
He traveled the world living his American dream and even put on some yellow polka dots that everyone remembers. He is the father of two crazy, crazy sons of bitches in Dustin and Cody Rhodes.
No, not Cody. Stardust.
Stardust. Did you know at one point Dusty Rhodes had the nickname Stardust?
That would explain it.
It would explain it, wouldn't it? Well, he was the common man. He was the son of a plumber. He was one of the greatest of all times. He is WWE Hall of Famer, Dusty Rhodes, and it sucks.
Yeah, this really sucks, because like we were talking about this before the show, and it was, you just sit there and you keep going, it's Dusty, though. It's Dusty. Like, there are people in your mind that you think are going to live forever.
Right.
And Dusty is one of those people, because he's such a figure in the pro wrestling community. He's so involved behind the scenes, working with NXT, bringing that next generation forward, and he's just revered. And it's like, you just hear that, and it's like a kick to the gut, because it's just, but no, it's Dusty.
Right. It's Dusty Rhodes.
That's just what I keep saying. It's like, but it's Dusty. You don't know.
Right. And we were like, because I sent her the message as I was running out to the store, and I was like, Dusty Rhodes died.
Yeah, yeah. He tells me that, and then he leaves.
Well, it was unfortunate timing, but yeah.
Dude!
Unfortunate timing. I was on the way out, but I read it as I was leaving. It's like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, I looked at my iPad. I was like, wait. All right, I had to run to the computer before I left. I was like, oh, wow. And you go on Twitter, and if you go to the Wild Talk radio feed, I have retweeted a whole bunch of tweets, and you read from legends, but you also read from the kids in NXT, all the great comments from him.
You can tell those were his kids. You can tell he meant a lot to them by what they've said. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Summer Rae, they've all put out some amazing stories about Dusty, talking about how they feel about him and what he meant to them. Several other people have just tweeted. I'm sure there are more stories to come as people kind of compose their thoughts and figure out really what they want to say. But, I mean, just the outpouring of support and grief for Dusty has been amazing, and it's all been positive. Everybody has said, you know, pretty much the same thing, that he was a stand-up guy. He was wonderful to work with. He had a great sense of humor. He had a swagger about him that no one else had. He knew how to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And he was just an all-around great person.
Yeah, Sasha Banks tweeted, without you, I wouldn't have a voice. Simply, thank you, Dream. And, like, Sami Zayn was telling a story on a really long Twitter thing, talking about the story about Kip Stern. And he tells the story, who's Kip Stern? Well, that's Kevin Owens. Owens' first week in NXT, Dusty Rhodes called him up to the stage surprisingly and called him Kip Stern. And Regal's like, you gotta go up there. You gotta go up there.
Regal's like, dude, he's talking to you.
Right. And I'm looking on Twitter now, Kevin Owens changed his name, still Fight Owens Fight, but his name on there is now Kip Stern.
That's awesome.
So it's like, everyone has gone out of their way to get praise Dusty, talk him up, from athletes in wrestling, out of wrestling, they've all talked about him. I even read some, Dale Earnhardt Jr., the race car driver, he posted something. Bray Wyatt posted a tweet saying, today the world lost an outlaw, but heaven gained one hell of a soldier. I love you, Dusty, which was an awesome tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Lana praised him, John Cena praised him, Bo Dallas praised him. Everyone's been praising him, The Rock, Triple H. And they were all in Pittsburgh tonight, and this is how the show started. That's awesome.
That's all you need. I mean, it's just the entire wrestling community has united around Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
And just the outpouring of grief. And I hope somewhere in their grief that his family is seeing this and hearing this and knowing that they're loved and we support them and they feel the love that everybody that wasn't as close to him had for their father and their husband and their, you know, brother if he had any siblings, but
right.
Just that they feel the love coming from this side of things.
And you know, everyone has that Dusty Rhodes impression. If you will.
If you will.
If you will. Everyone does it. It's a Dustyism. Everyone does it. We don't promote other shows, but go listen to the Sam Roberts podcast from WrestleMania weekend where he interviews Stardust. And you listen to Stardust do a Dusty Rhodes impression. Awesome. It's the most amazing thing you'll ever hear. It is awesome. But we lost him today. It sucks. It really, really sucks. It's a blow to the wrestling industry because you listen and you read everything they've talked about. You see what they all, what everyone down in NXT talks about. He's been guiding the future.
He has.
He helps everybody he sees. From you know, veterans to new people. He's been passing on his knowledge to everybody who's come to that performance center.
Oh yeah, I mean, like you were talking about Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn mentioned how, one, Dusty helped him get the name Sami Zayn, but two...
That was a good story.
That was a good story, that he wasn't good on the mic. He hated doing promos. Like, he had gone his whole career without really learning how to cut a promo, and so it was really intimidating for him to have to learn from Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty just set him right at ease and helped him and didn't judge him for the fact that he couldn't cut a promo. He just helped him through it and helped him learn how to cut a proper promo.
Right.
And I'm sure that's not the only person he's done that for. I mean, it's just everything you hear about him, he seems like he was a really genuinely nice person, you know, because it's not only the wrestler stories, it's fans who are also, you know, pouring out how they met Dusty and, you know, how he was always very nice and very kind. I mean, as far as I've seen, nobody can say a bad thing about him.
And which is great.
Which is great.
And especially that, you won't expect to hear people come out and, you know, say, Dusty Rhodes said this to me, he screwed me over, yada, yada, yada. Dusty Rhodes was amazing. He did a lot wherever he went, whether it was in WCW, WWE, NWA, even the time he spent in TNA, he helped a lot of people grow. And it's just, it's a loss for the business, because as you keep mentioning, you always thought Dusty Rhodes would be around.
Yeah.
And we've noticed, like, he's lost weight over the last couple of years. Apparently he was told to go on a diet. So it's like, you can't speculate what happened to him, and it's like, we don't know what happened. No one knows what happened. There are the rumors, but nothing is confirmed until it's all confirmed. It's just, I don't know.
There seems to be a central theme, which is that he collapsed this morning. He was taken to a medical facility. There were complications to what happened. Nobody's entirely sure at this point what actually happened. His family was able to get there in time, and he slipped away this afternoon.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of it. And so, you know, it's hugely unfortunate. And it's like we keep saying, it's a blow to the wrestling community because Dusty was so beloved.
Yeah.
And he's going to be incredibly missed.
Yes, yes, he will. And to show honor and tribute to the one, the only, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, let's talk about some hard times, if you will, with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Here is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time, because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the wrestling fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work and got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. And the other was right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title.
belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out. Because the love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this Hard Time Blues Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm gonna take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm gonna take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real world champion. And I'm proud of you, and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
So that was one of his classic promos, Hard Times with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
I don't think we can really say anything else more on the subject.
No, no. Once again,
so,
thank you, Dusty.
Yes, thank you, Dusty. We love you. You will be missed. And our condolences go out to the Rhodes family. I know this is not to, you know, not, pun not intended, hard times for them.
Yeah, to Cody, to Dustin, to Terry Reynolds, because, you know, they were related via Goldust at one point, to her daughter, you know, and everyone. Our condolences go out to everybody in and around the wrestling community, to the Dusty Rhodes, to the Rhodes family. Once again, thank you, Dusty.
Yes, thank you, Dusty. So on that note, I say we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into the rest of the news. We wanted to give Dusty his own segment because, well, he deserves it. So we're going to jump into the rest of the news when we come back. And later in the show, don't forget, we've got Money in the Bank. And we have the one and only Christopher Daniels. So you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
You know, you can't be too quick to judge somebody. You might end up with your foot in your mouth. You can't judge an apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge a honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a daughter by looking at the mother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. Come on, can't you see?
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And we're going to now do the rest of the news, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, we have to talk about the second big story of the week, which, ironically enough, involves NXT, and that is the speculation of NXT and Evolve Wrestling joining forces.
Yeah, there's a bunch of rumors going around. There's nothing set in stone, but it appears NXT and Evolve Wrestling, Gabe Sapolsky and WWN Live, will be working together a sort of a feeder system to NXT, is the best way to put it. The rumor going around that they were sort of like, Evolve will sign people, you know, to deals and licensing deals and everything like that, and it'll be like, go to Evolve, and then, you know, 2-3 years down the line, if you would like to go to NXT, here's your pathway. Because there's a lot of talk, you know, about contracts and like this, and sponsorship deals, like the Figures Inc. deal, where Kevin Owens has a figure contract, and WWE's not happy about it, and because now they're promoting that product, and WWE hasn't gotten a chance to promote their own product, and it's, they're basically trying to make a feeder system for NXT, an easy way to get into WWE. It's interesting. I think it's a good move for WWE. I think it's a good move for wrestling.
I think it's a good move, but I'm not sure it's gonna work, because they did something similar a few years back with Georgia Championship Wrestling. Or no, I'm sorry, Deep South. They did it with Deep South. And because Deep South was the feeder into OVW and then FCW.
Right.
And then they eventually got rid of Deep South and just went with FCW. So.
But that was more of a developmental territory. This is more work for them. You have a better shot at getting into WWE.
Oh yeah, I get what it is. It's basically, this is the company that we're going to sign the talents we're interested in to see what they can actually do. And then if we like them, we'll sign them to NXT. Like, I get what the point of it is. I don't know how I feel about it. I would have to see how they actually set it up. Like, there's definitely intriguing quality to it.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like it feels kind of unnecessary because it's, well, you know, if you really want to give them a trial run, bring them in and give them a shot.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. It just, I don't know. I think it's a good move. What it's doing, basically, WWE is realizing the talent that's out there.
Oh, yeah.
Before, for the longest time, they would stay away from indie talent. Now, with Triple H in charge, he's like, there's talent out there. We can use this talent. And this was not Evolve coming to WWE. This was WWE going to Evolve.
Yeah.
And if you remember back in the heyday, Gabe Sapolsky ran Ring of Honor at its heyday, where guys like Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe originally had success.
Yeah, for a long time, the indie wrestlers were dismissed.
Right.
And it's kind of, WWE basically had the mindset, oh, well, we can make our own talent, we can grow it better than what we can find out on the indies. And so a long time, guys like Kevin Steen and El Generico and Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, they weren't going to be given a shot because they were on the indies and they were viewed as lesser. And that was mainly the old way of thinking, and I think the new way of Hunter is coming in, and Hunter's one of the boys. He's not going to dismiss anybody.
No.
Hunter's got an eye for talent.
Yes.
He knows what's out there.
Yes.
And by God, he's going to take advantage of it, because here's the thing. It may be easier in the short term, especially if you're looking to create stars, if you're looking to create attractions, which is what WWE desperately needs to do right now, to find these guys. They're already over. They already have a fan base. They will bring their fan base with them to WWE. You put them down in NXT for 6 months, clean them up, polish them up, and you punt them up to the main roster, and you let them get over.
Right.
And that's a smarter idea than trying to take someone and force them down the people's throats when they're not getting over.
Right. And a lot of this has to do with licensing deals and making it easy so you don't have to go through 20 different companies to get all the rights to certain people. You make a name, you're able to license the name, you may have a good idea, this may be a better way for people to keep their names they've been building and move them forward. I think that helps too for them.
Oh, yeah, that definitely helps.
It'll be a good move all around once the official deals comes out. We'll know more.
If the official deal comes out. Again, this is all purely speculation. It's all rumor. Nobody knows if they're actually going to go through with it or not. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to Mick Foley. He had back surgery this past week, so I hope he's feeling better. He basically did it to obviously alleviate the pain, because as he said, he's not entirely sure how that happened. Gee, Mick, we don't know either. Could be, several drops through a cage. Might have had something to do with it. And chair shots as well. Can't forget the 32 or like 34 chair shots he took from the Rock, or however many it was. That would also attribute to back pain. Just, a thought. So, best wishes to Mick Foley as he recovers from surgery. I hope it alleviates the pain. I hope it makes you feel better, because Lord knows you deserve to feel awesome. Also, another quick high note. Like to wish the best of luck to Davey Richards and Angelina Love as they announced this past week that they got married.
Yeah, yesterday, in fact.
Yes, so huge congratulations to them. Yeah. Wish them nothing but the best.
Nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. We talked about their engagement a couple months ago, so it's a really, really quick turnaround.
Eh, sometimes you don't want a long engagement. Especially in their business. It's like, you don't want a long engagement because if you get a shot to get married, you take it. Because you never know when you're going to get that shot again.
Word of advice, don't get a house in Nashville and then work for WWE, because a certain crazy old man may try to break up your relationship.
Oh my God.
Hey, it was a way to throw it in there.
Some people have way too much time on their hands, just saying.
Yeah.
But lastly, before we go to break, or I should say before we do Tweet of the Week, because we're not going to break, we need to talk about The Rock.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment. He's doing Rock's Tribute to the Troops or something to that effect in October on Spike TV.
That's going to be entertaining.
That should be fun. He's going to go overseas, do a little special on the air on Spike TV in October. Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. And one other quick little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's being denied now. The awesome match we all want to see, it's being denied from all parties, Austin Brock won't happen because Austin's not wrestling at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon was unhappy.
Oh my god. Vince was so pissed.
Vince was apparently pissed off that about to work, about, you know, about it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of backpedaling on everybody's part. Basically, Austin was like, oh, I was in Stone Cold mode, and, you know, when that happens, I don't shut up, and...
I went into character, and...
Yeah, I went into character, and we were just shooting shit, and we were talking smack, and, well, Heyman's like, hey, I was just, you know, stirring the pot, but Heyman has been accused of having an agenda, which, you know, totally never happens with Paul Heyman.
He's not accused. He flat out said, I have an agenda.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, he had the agenda to do it.
And they're not going to fire him because, well, Brock.
Well, yeah.
Heyman's got some job security there, which is pretty awesome. But, hey, you know, if it stirs the pot, it gets people talking, it gets people curious about the podcast.
Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. I just think it's funny how hard they're backpedaling on it.
Yeah, it's like really quickly they're backpedaling.
It's like, so we'll have to see where it goes. I doubt if it's going to go anywhere, but have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep an eye on it, but it's like, it's not happening now. Austin's denying it. It won't happen.
Right.
So it's time to kill all the hype. So when we have something else planned, you won't go all crazy if this didn't happen, even though people now want it to happen.
Yeah. Money.
Maybe you shouldn't open up your mouths. Just saying.
Yeah.
Austin,
yeah.
Austin probably should say, I'm not... What Austin should have done was say, I'm not wrestling. I'm not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But he protected himself and went on the ramp.
Yeah.
So.
Just saying.
Just throwing it out there.
So, anyway... That's the news. Once again, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And now I say we have a little fun and do some Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right. Before we get into Tweet of the Week, we gotta mention something. Cause Lindsay just showed it to me. At NXT Pittsburgh tonight, Kevin Owens put polka dots on his shirt. That is awesome.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. Anyway, Tweet of the Week, you're up.
Tweet of the Week. I don't have a lot. Shocker. Becky Lynch. Come on, Bo. There was no need. KNEED for that. Hashtag Raw. Alexa Bliss. The face I make when Carmella gets in the ring trying to act all fabulous or whatever. And she's sneering. To which Carmella replied, the face I make when Alexa Bliss thinks she's just bad. Thinks she's bad just because she lost her tutu. And Carmella's done.
Right.
I love this feud so much.
It's amazing. I love it. I love that it's on so. They're doing social media right.
Yeah, they are. I will say they're one of the few that can do social media right.
Is that all you got?
So, that's all I got.
Alright. That means it's up to me to fill in the content now. There.
Yeah.
I know, because I was tweeting too. Anyway, so let's start from the beginning. Bam fact from Alexa Bliss. At WWE, Blake never tweets, only retweets. LOL. Hashtag Bam fact. Dolph Ziggler, lady on plane just ordered a Coca-Cola Classic. I'm going to jam a Q-tip brand cotton swab into my brain. BG James, the road dog. They're getting ready to run at the Belmont Stakes, and I'm hoping American Pharoah does it again. I bet real Billy Gunn a dollar on it. Oh, you didn't know? Samoa Joe, I'll bet you a dollar real Billy Gunn would beat the Pharoah in a 40-yard foot race wearing house shoes, rather. And he replied, I bet you're right, Billy's fast, but those horse blew him out. What a race, what a horse. So there you go. Bo Dallas. Someone tweeted him, have you got any Bo motivational tips for someone starting their first job. Hashtag, believe in yourself and make the employer know that you are essential to them. Be the best you can be. Hashtag, it will pay off. Keep it 5-star. So, are horse jockeys good at sex because of horse girls? I know girls aren't into them because they're 5 feet, but... Serious question? Just saying. Vincent Verhey, the lesson here. When you want excitement, you get the Burger King to your event.
Oh my god, we need to talk about that.
Alright, talk about it.
So in case people don't know, like Burger King apparently paid $1 million or something ridiculous like that to get the Burger King King in the box with Bob Baffert at the Triple Crown. So they're showing like Bob Baffert and his family and American Pharoahs walking out on the track and going up to the gate, and in the crowd behind Bob Baffert is the Burger King King, and I was like, that's just mildly creepy.
Right?
I mean, I get it's very subtle advertising and its finest, but it's like, that is just incredibly creepy, because you just look up and you're like, okay, there's a giant smiling plastic king in there. That, yeah, that was just creepy as all hell, but go American Pharoah!
Now, I was telling you about a story just a few minutes ago, right?
Right.
Billy Gunn, congrats to American Pharoah. Now I have to give Road Dogg his dollar. Such a shame. Bo Dallas was tweeted, can I have some inspiration to get a date with my crush? Believe it will happen. Meanwhile, make her laugh. Bo Dallas, more motivational advice. Could I get some motivation to help me find ways to save money for my first home? Lindsay, pay attention. Put 10% of your income every month in a savings account.
I'm pretty sure I'm putting away more than 10%, but thanks, Bo!
UFC on Fox tweeted, and it's basically a quote from Sean Jordan. He threw his ninja kick, and then I came back with my Shawn Michaels super kick. Hashtag UFC NOLA. He did come back with a hell of a kick. I just love that. It's a Shawn Michaels kick. Anyway, keep it 5-star. Paige's House, Bella's World, Bray Wyatt, Eater of Worlds. When are these shows coming to the WWE Network?
Not fast enough.
WWE creative-ish. I said the Comedy Store and sex with Lana seems better than falling off a ladder. Hashtag Raw. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, kind of does.
James Caldwell. Oh, James Storm, you have disguised yourself as a Russian on crutches. Noelle Foley. Ambrose got so many beads because he's the titty master. Hashtag Raw. Heel Ziggler. You would think the moo-moo-covered barefoot woman eating Popeye's chicken on the floor of the airport would be happy. You would think. Mr. Anderson replied, maybe if you'd rub her little tootsies for her.
Ew.
Ziggler replied, never! Okay, maybe just one. Three-man booth. Kurt Angle is part man, part machine. That machine is a spud launcher. Hashtag Destination X. Matt Hardy. I shot an interview that was supposed to air on Impact Wrestling Night. It was apparently cut. Looks like I'll have to promote myself then. James Storm replied, well, I hate hearing your voice.
James!
And that is Tweet of the Week.
Alright, well now... I said we do Money in the Bank.
Let's get into Money in the Bank, which is this Sunday live on the WWE Network and on pay-per-view. And yeah, if you would like to join in on the fun, go. You can post in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or tweet us at WildTalkRadio, your picks for Money in the Bank. And we're about to go one-on-one with the Magic 8-Ball as we do our picks.
Yes, we are.
So do you have a card up?
I do not have a card up.
So prepared.
You didn't tell me to pull a card up!
Fine. Alright. It's the pre-show. It's R-Truth versus King Barrett and his bulge.
God, that thing's fucking distracting.
You know, his crown.
Yeah, his crown.
Or his royal scepter. That would have been a better one.
So, alright. Who do you think is gonna win?
Part of me wants to go, oh, it's definitely gonna be King Barrett. It's all the way King Barrett. He's the king of the ring. Why wouldn't King Barrett win? Then it's like, oh yeah, it's Barrett. They always make him lose, no matter what. And it's the pre-show match, which means usually they put their baby face over on the pre-show, which means R-Truth, who thought he was in Money in the Bank, could possibly win.
He could.
He could. He really, really could. What I'm thinking, though, is King Barrett wins, but it wouldn't surprise me if R-Truth won. My official pick is King Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, I think I could go with Barrett on this one, too. I mean, I love R-Truth and all, but he's just kind of drifting right now, and it seems like they're pointing Wade in a very specific direction, so yeah. going with the Wade.
And King Barrett's direction is losing, usually.
Yeah, well, you know, gotta win every once in a while.
The Magic 8-Ball says, will R-Truth win on Sunday? Most likely.
Hmm.
Interesting. Magic 8-Ball's going in that direction. Lil Mans in the chat room goes, again, what probably one of the most predictable pay-per-views ever.
Yeah, well, you know, like you do.
Like you do. All right, let's get into some of the matches that are going to be just there, and that's including the Intercontinental Championship Showdown in one corner. You have the big guy, the Ryback, taking on the Big Show.
Why are we doing this match? Why? Somebody explain this to me, please. Like, what is the point of this? I'm really, really, really seriously curious. Why in 2015 are we pushing Big Show like this? Explain it.
That's been my question for the longest time. I don't know. I have no legitimate answer for it at all. It's like, Big Show, he won the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. Then they stopped protecting him and he lost to Roman Reigns. Then he disappeared for 6 weeks. Tommy in the chat room goes, hashtag torture Lindsay, that's why.
Hey, you know, it's better than Bray.
I guess.
Although it saddens me greatly that once again Bray Wyatt is not on the pay-per-view. Like, what the actual hell? Just, can they not find anything for him?
So the Big Show has been gone for 6 weeks. And walks right into a title shot. Why? How? How is that legitimately possible? I wrote on the website, wildtalkradio.com, it's like, so, Bray lost to The Undertaker, so he should be the champion, WWE champion right now, right?
Totally.
If that's losing to big matches, that's where you get title shots and championships, right? It would all make sense. And then the other reason LeMans goes, because Vince thinks the big guys are an attraction for fans. As if.
He's an attraction for some fans, and I don't fault people liking him. I really, really seriously don't. You know, it's everybody has their personal preference. I don't understand what people see in him because I don't see it. I really don't. And to me, it's just like, you know, he just doesn't do anything for me. And then you put him on top of Big Show, and it's like, oh, why? Why are we doing this? You know?
Oh, I know. Trust me. I know. It's like, Ryback's fine, and Ryback can have his programs, and he can be the champion, blah, blah, blah. We've said this before, we'll say it again. We've seen all the Big Show stories.
Yeah, we have. We really, really seriously have.
So it's like at 15 years into WWE run, why is he still in title contention?
I mean, granted, it's for the IC title, so it's better than the WWE title, I will say this. But it's just, to me, it's like, still why?
And they gave away the big moment on Raw.
They did. That's the other thing about it. They gave away his big moment on Raw, where it's, you know, hey, let's have Ryback shell shock the Big Show on Monday Night Raw. Why? Because we can. You know, it's just I don't understand. Can you tell we really don't want to see this match on a lot of levels?
Right.
Like I'm not a fan of this match. I'm not a fan of the idea of it.
Because the match is gonna suck.
Yeah, the match is gonna suck. Honestly, it's really gonna suck.
If we thought Roman and Big Show was bad, think about this one.
Yeah. 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 But that being said, all the whining out of the way, I have to pick the big guy to retain. What about you? He's not picking, apparently. He's refusing to pick! Why do I think the big guy's gonna win? Because apparently I need to stall for a second. It just doesn't make sense to put the title on Big Show at this point in time. You know, he's good for a match or two. I don't wanna really see him have a run with the IC title. It's not gonna do what they want it to do. And then they always have that impossible story of taking taking the title off of him once it's put on him. And so it just, it's not going to do for the IC title what they want it to do, because they're trying to give it prominence again. And granted, having it on Ryback is a little bit more prominence. I think it would still have been better served to go on someone else, namely someone like Barrett or even Sheamus, someone that would, you know, just carry a little more prestige with it. And that's not to knock Ryback. That's more to knock creative, because they've had a chance to really build Ryback into something. And they failed the last couple times simply because they get to that point and then they don't pull the trigger. So to me, it's like Ryback with a title. It makes more sense to keep it with him because he can defend it more often. There's more risk that he could lose the title later on than with Big Show. Because you put it on Big Show and it's like, oh God, he's going to have it for the next 6 months. And it's like, ugh.
By the way, I do refuse to pick this matchup, though. I will have to pick it.
Yeah, you have to pick. If I had to pick, you have to pick.
Ryback wins. Magic 8-Ball says Ryback wins, too. I just don't want it to happen.
I don't want it to happen, but it's going to happen.
I should take that back. I don't want the match to happen. Ryback can be Intercontinental Champion. That's fine. He can do whatever he wants. I just don't want the match to happen. It's gonna be awful. Expect the Miz to get involved.
Oh God, why?
Because they're building.
This doesn't need to be any more convoluted than it already is. I also hope this is short.
Because
this should be short.
Because another guy who's been gone for 6 weeks, title shot. And I actually like the Miz, but yeah.
Oh, I like the Miz too, but I don't want anything to draw this out.
No. Anyway, moving on to the next match. On the show, Divas Championship, Nikki Bella versus Paige. Alright, I want to ask the chat room, who's the babyface? Who's the heel?
I don't even know anymore. It's a minor pay-per-view, but I think they're ready to take it off Nikki.
If they were ready to take it off of Nikki, I think Naomi would have had it.
But that's the thing, I don't know if they want to put it on Naomi. They should put it on Naomi, but they're not going to. But at the same time, I'm not sure if I want Paige to be champion again.
We have a comment. Creative is the heel.
Yeah! Creative is totally the heel. You know, honestly, I say it stays on Nikki for right now. It doesn't make sense to change the title here. I say she carries it through to SummerSlam and drops it at SummerSlam. But honestly, I really don't want to see Paige as champion. I'm tired of Nikki as champion, but I don't want to see it change hands, and I prefer it to go to somebody else outside of Paige, namely Naomi. I would like to see them follow through with her and make her champion.
With Total Divas starting up, I say Nikki Bella retains the title.
Yeah, for right now.
For right now, for at least another month. Really still SummerSlam, that might be a good way to drop it. The Magic 8-Ball says, will Nikki Bella retain the Divas title? Most likely. So it's on the same page with us. So when it that way, yeah. Anyway.
Remember who she learned to kick out at two from. Just saying.
The champ is here. WWE Tag Team titles, The New Day, taking on the Prime Time Players. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars? I'm not... These are some people who are high on the Prime Time Players. I'm not. And it's nothing against them, but I watched Titus O'Neil, and I don't, like, he's strong, but I don't see it.
I don't see where they're going with them, but at the same time, I don't see where they're going with the New Day either.
The New Day has their popularity, I guess is the best way to put it, has sort of, you know, they got their success, and now they're not as popular.
Were they ever popular?
Well, with New Day sucks, I guess.
That lasted for a whole 5 minutes?
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't, you know, sort of, it didn't get over as much.
No, it did not.
At least as they hoped it would. They ran with it, they took it while it was hot. With Cesaro and Kid out of the picture, especially with Kid's injury. Cesaro's in limbo, so you have to pick a new team. As someone in the chat goes, I would pay good money to see Nikki Bella rock attack Sin Cara. That'd be interesting.
Which Sin Cara?
I think the current Sin Cara. That way there's no chance of a botch.
No. There is always a chance of a botch.
This is true. Anyway, getting back to the match, New Day?
Yeah, I say New Day retains here. It doesn't make sense to put them on the primetime players. There isn't really a direction for the primetime players. I think we're going to see Harper and Rowan come in and start destroying people. That seems to be what they're setting them up to do, and make a run at the titles. And hopefully this time when they go for the titles, they actually win the titles like they should have a year ago, just saying, so that way Eric can get his shiny pretty and he can hug it and love it and lick it and be happy. Because let's not forget, y'all, Eric Rowan licked the title. It's still technically his.
Haven't seen anyone else lick it.
I haven't seen anyone else lick it. So technically it's his.
Technically it is.
But yeah, I say New Day retains. It doesn't make any sense to take the titles off them right now.
The Magic 8 Ball says don't count on it. Magic 8 Ball's going primetime players.
Millions of dollars, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I think yo.
Yo. Anyway, moving on to some of the matches we actually care about, or the more interesting matches on the show. Kevin Owens, John Cena.
This is a hard one to call.
Technically, it shouldn't be.
Technically, it shouldn't be, but there's a lot going on with Kevin Owens right now, where I know NXT doesn't necessarily impact what happens on Raw and SmackDown, but Kevin Owens is extremely high profile right now, and people are following pretty much everything he's doing. So it's a very unique situation. He's got a match next week with Joe.
Which we'll talk about here in a bit.
And then come July 4th, he's facing Balor for the title, which I suspect that match he's going to lose.
I would assume.
Call it a hunch.
Call it a hunch. So if he's going to lose, that should be the time he loses.
Yeah, but it's Cena.
On a pay-per-view.
On a pay-per-view.
It's that whole thing. Kevin Owens is so hot right now. Such a hot commodity right now. You can't have Cena kill it. You can't do the death of Cena with this. Because Cena kills all popular superstars when they are on the rise. Rusev, Bray, Wyatt, to name a couple. You can't kill the momentum of Kevin Owens. If you want someone to break away from the pack, keep Kevin Owens strong. Losing the NXT title is fine because that's NXT. He needs to beat John Cena, and then they need to stop fighting each other. Cena should not get his win back. Cena should not get a win back, because that's just bad booking. Because then you're just playing Even Steven, and we see where Even Steven booking gets you.
You need to keep Owens strong, especially going into the match with Joe, even though it's already technically been taped. And also the match with Balor on the 4th. You need to keep him strong for that. That being said, I say Owens is going to win, even though my gut's telling me it's going to be Cena. I'm going with my heart and saying Owens is going to win. I think Hunter's trying to do a lot to protect him. I think Vince sees money in him. And it's like, it makes sense to have Owens win, to continue to keep him strong, especially since he's probably going to suffer. He's going to at least lose one of the two upcoming matches, either to Joe or to Balor, most likely Balor. And he's probably going to lose to Joe simply because they're trying to build Joe strong.
Right. And again, John Cena doesn't need to beat Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens needs to beat John Cena.
Yeah, if you're bringing Owens up and you want to establish him on the main roster, you need to have him as the guy who's beaten John Cena twice in a month. Pinned him clean.
That simple.
Twice in a month on pay-per-view. Because that's going to do a lot to cement Kevin Owens into your main event and into your title picture.
Yeah, so I'm going Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I say Kevin Owens.
Magic 8-Ball says most likely Kevin Owens wins. So next on the list, the Money in the Bank contract ladder match with no actual drama. You have Neville, Sheamus, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Kane, Dolph Ziggler, and Kofi Kingston.
Everybody say it with me. Roman Reigns is walking out with Money in the Bank.
I don't want to say that.
I know you don't want to say it. I don't want to say it, but that's what's happening. It's clear as day. That's what they're going to do.
You sit here. You look at the people in this match. You have Neville, who on SmackDown they go, hey, look, see, he climbed. He can climb and he can pull it down. Look at Neville. He could win Money in the Bank. Do we really believe that?
No.
No, he's been around for three months. He's not winning Money in the Bank. You look at Dolph Ziggler. Why would Dolph Ziggler win it? What confidence does WWE actually have in Dolph? None? Do they see him as the next WWE champion? No. You look at Kofi Kingston. he's only in the match to take bumps. You look at Sheamus. He's the only other person in this match that I actually think has a believable chance at winning. And that's very slim.
I don't see Sheamus winning it.
No, neither do I, but out of everybody left in this match, he has the next highest percentage chance of winning.
I will say it would be interesting if they had Kofi win it, just because he wins it for the New Day, and anyone in the New Day could technically cash it in, but that's not going to happen. So yeah,
they're not going to put it back on Randy Orton, because no one wants to see Randy Orton in the title picture right now. He had his time, he needs to back down a little bit.
What I would actually like to see is they do a little shenanigans with this, and I have a theory. It doesn't necessarily work.
Okay. Bulger.
But it's somebody in the match gets taken out, and Brock takes their place.
Could happen.
And Brock gets the Money in the Bank, which he's already got a rematch for losing the WWE Championship, but it's almost a guaranteed shot with Money in the Bank, especially for Brock, because at this point, no offense to either Seth or Dean, but one of those two is going to win that title, and one of those two is going to face Brock, and one of those two is going to die.
Yeah.
Because it's Brock.
It is Brock.
And he's looking for blood after what happens, so, especially if it's Seth. So you could have it where Brock interjects himself into the Money in the Bank match. He either takes somebody out, or he just enters the match, and he wins the Money in the Bank contract.
Right. Someone goes, oh, that's a neat idea. Here's the thing. Brock takes out Kofi Kingston, right? That would lead to the epic rematch on July 4th between Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston in Japan.
It would.
It would give a reason for the match to happen.
It totally would.
Alright. I made this point to Lindsay the other day, and I'm going to make it here. I want, when it comes to Money in the Bank, I would rather have 7 strong people in this match that are legitimate contenders for the WWE Championship than guys who will jump and do flips off a ladder. I know ladder matches these days are about high risk and big bumps and everything like that, but when it comes to the WWE Championship, I'd rather have 6-7 guys who would actually be legitimate challengers for the championship, and there would be a high sense of drama in this match.
Yeah, and that's what's missing is the high sense of drama. And you kind of look at the people in this match, and they've picked quality people, but it's like you kind of look at them and you're like, really? Really? That's who's going in this match? Really? I mean, And what's irritating is you had someone like Bray Wyatt, and I understand that in Bray's last feud with The Undertaker, he lost. But prior to that, Bray was on a roll. They built him up very strong for Taker. He was in Money in the Bank last year. He had a decent showing in Money in the Bank last year. But you've had Bray Wyatt in a series of main event feuds, some of which he's won, some of which he's lost, but he's still been in main event feuds, and he has to earn, in quotations, his way into Money in the Bank by facing Roman Reigns, whereas other people like Kofi Kingston, who maybe have not been in as high profile feuds, just gets in.
Right.
Or someone like Randy Orton, who is on the authorities' bad list, you would think they would make him earn his spot in the Money in the Bank, but he didn't.
He was supposedly in the back of the line, and now he's back in the front of the line?
Yeah, no, he's back in the front of the line. So either Orton cut a deal, or there's some shenanigans going on. But it's just, you look at the people that they've picked for this match, and you're like, eh? Eh? Because there's no drama. It's like, the second it got announced that Roman was in the match, it's like, well, we know who's winning.
And here's the thing. Who's winning right now on television?
Roman.
Who is losing on television?
Everybody else.
So,
to everybody else,
Randy Orton and Sheamus, the reason they keep doing disqualification matches, you know, cause it's like, see, on Sunday they can't get disqualified. But that makes no sense.
Right?
It's a ladder match, of course they can't get disqualified. So why are you doing DQ innings? Here's a stat for you. They wrestled 15 times in their WWE careers. 9 matches between Sheamus and Randy Orton have ended in disqualification. Just saying.
What I understand is, like, why is Kane in there? I love Kane. Don't get me wrong. I adore him. But it's like, why are you in this match, dude? You should not be in this match. But somehow every year they manage to get Kane into Money in the Bank. I think he's been in on almost every Money in the Bank match they've ever had.
Just about.
And it's like, why are you in this match? You shouldn't be, unless somebody's going to take his place.
He's there to do the bidding for the authority.
And stop Roman from winning the contract?
Roman Reigns will have to overcome Kane to get the contract.
Oh, Lord. No.
Like, again.
Just no.
This just shows the weakness of the main event scene. You don't have enough legitimate contenders to put in this match. And that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Especially when you do even, again, going back to even Steven booking, this is why you have a match like this.
Yep.
Someone in chat goes, I would rather have Dean in the Money in the Bank match, underdog face, Money in the Bank holder for the win, and it makes sense with his chaotic nature, plus all the foreshadowing last year set up so well, stringing of losses, stealing Rollins' case, John Stewart comments that Dean should have won it, etc. Good point.
Dean as a Money in the Bank holder would be one of the most entertaining things they've done in a really long time, especially if they put the title or they keep the title on Seth, because Dean writing Dean terrorizing Seth with that briefcase would be hilarious.
Yeah, it would.
Because basically it's Dean's revenge and he would make Seth's life absolute hell with it. It would be awesome.
Alright, so picks.
Roman.
Hate saying it. Roman Reigns is your winner of the Money in the Bank. We asked the Magic 8, but will Roman Reigns win? No. Will Sheamus win? No. Will Neville win? No. Will Dolph Ziggler win? Outlook good. So the Magic 8 Ball is going with Dolph Ziggler.
Well, he could.
Which now leads to the main event, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose for Dean Ambrose's WWE Championship.
In a ladder match. This is going to be good.
Great. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait for this match.
Yeah, I'm excited for this match. Super, super excited.
Because this is the thing, Lindsay. This is a ladder match with drama.
Yeah. And seeing as Seth is going to supposedly have no help from the authority.
Right. No help from the authority. No
in
help.
Quotations.
Let's think about this. We'll go down this theory of no help from the authority. What if his help is Roman Reigns? What if to get the WWE Championship back, he, you know, gets in the ear of Roman Reigns and say, hey, Roman, you want to help me? Help me. Huh? Huh? We can reform it. We can screw over Dean. He doesn't, you know, you guys aren't like that good of friends. We can tear the house down like we used to. No?
No.
Yeah, I didn't believe my answer either, but I was throwing out the scenario.
You seriously underestimate the bromance that is Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns.
I don't.
You just seriously underestimate that.
I'm just throwing a theory out there.
Oh, I know. I get that. Seth having no help, of course, you know, we all know that there's going to be shenanigans in this, but the whole reason it's a ladder match is, well, there are supposed to be shenanigans, because Seth will get some kind of help.
Maybe from Bray Wyatt?
Maybe from Bray Wyatt. Maybe from Roman Reigns. You know, Roman could be trying to help Dean, and he ends up screwing up, and he helps Seth. Who knows? You know, there are rumors that there could be a Shield reunion. I doubt that's going to happen, but it's entirely possible.
I threw this scenario out on Sunday. Dean Ambrose wins the WWE Championship. Roman Reigns cashes in that night on Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns walks out of Money in the Bank as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion by screwing over his best friend.
He could. Roman's already said that if he wins the title, he's going to cash in, or if he wins the briefcase, he's going to cash in on whoever wins that title, which he said it's going to be Dean Ambrose. So they had him make that statement for a reason.
Which means it won't happen on Sunday.
Which means it won't happen on Sunday, but that doesn't mean that he won't cash in at some point. I would love to see them continue with Dean having the title. I would love to actually see them put the win on Dean, and Seth now has to figure out a way on his own to get the title off of Dean. And you could honestly do a three-way at whatever the next pay-per-view is between the three, if he wanted to.
But that's blowing the big money for a Shield match. If you would do it, I would do it at SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
The thing is Brock's going to be at SummerSlam.
Brock is at Battleground.
Brock is at Battleground, but we don't know if Brock's going for the title or not. It doesn't make sense to put Brock back in your title picture, but I don't know who else you could have Brock face unless you do Roman versus Brock.
Or you do Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins at Battleground, not for the title. You do Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose for the title at Battleground. And then you have Brock and Roman win at Battleground. They fight at SummerSlam.
I can see that.
Because is Brock wanting his title back? Or does he want to get revenge on Seth Rollins?
I think he wants to get revenge, honestly, on Seth Rollins, because it's like Brock is a conqueror. He looks for the next thing to conquer. And he's conquered the WWE title picture. He doesn't necessarily need the title. It's a nice thing to have, but he doesn't need it. So I can honestly see Roman, or I can honestly see Brock just being like, eh, screw your title. He wants revenge on Seth Rollins for screwing him over.
Alright, Little Man's Ghost, quick question. If they are advertising Rollins as champion for future live events as champion, is that giving away anything, or are these always subject to change?
Subject to change.
Because it would be giving it away if they say Dean Ambrose is your WWE champion.
Yeah. Everything for the advertising is subject to change. And people just kind of need to keep that in mind. But sometimes things do pop up that are unexpected, like when people are going to make returns and everything. That's a good thing to check, but in terms of the title picture, that title can always change.
Right, because they can always, you know, change the advertising the next day after he wins the title and say, Dean Ambrose is coming to your town as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and I think Seth for right now has run his course as champion.
We talked about it 2 weeks ago.
It's time to change it. Let Dean have it for another couple weeks until Battleground. Let him go to Battleground. He can drop it there. And he can either go for a rematch on SummerSlam, or they can find him something else to do.
I'm going with the scenario Dean Ambrose wins, and then Roman cashes in on him.
Ditto.
I go with the scenario of Battleground is Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, and Roman and Dean in your main events.
I'm not picking Battleground, but ditto on they actually put the title on Dean, and then you have Dean and you have Roman cash in, and then you can do the three-way if you want, or you do Roman and Dean and Seth and Brock at Battleground.
LeMans goes, do you think they will eventually have Reigns as the one to beat Lesnar, or let Lesnar continue to tear through the roster? Let Lesnar continue to tear.
Yeah, let him keep going for a little bit.
Because that's Brock. You signed Brock to a multi-million dollar, multi-year deal. Let him beat people up. He's your badass. He's your monster. He shouldn't be losing.
No, I mean, a fluke loss every once in a great while, that's fine. But yeah, Brock has the reputation of coming in there and killing people. Let him do his job.
Yeah, makes the most sense.
So, I say that's Money in the Bank.
That is Money in the Bank. So coming up, we should remind people what's coming up.
Yes, coming up, we have NXT and one half of ROH's Tag Team Champions, The Addiction, Christopher Daniels. He's going to be talking to us all about his upcoming matches with Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Red Dragon. So
plus, he talks about superhero movies.
Superhero movies and cake.
Cake.
So, you don't want to miss any of that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Power and money got me crazy cocky. No longer need you, Poppy. I know you're mad because you can't stop me. And if you wonder how this player done scooped your honey, I think she smell my cologne. It's called Brand New Money. Making major moves, man, ain't a damn thing funny. Pimpin' hood rats to Playboy bunnies. They see the...
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that was
just recently.
It was this past Sunday, actually. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no.
Man. Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Most Matadores versus the real Americans.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making fun of you. I see them too, and actually, I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Free Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. So you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God.
I believe you changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He coming. Just like, bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And that music means one thing. We are going to talk all about NXT.
Her theme does get you hyped a little bit.
It does get you hyped. especially the hair. I love hair. I want Becky Lynch's hair so bad. If I could dye my hair orange, oh my god. It would be on.
Like Donkey Kong?
Like Donkey Kong.
Oh man, what an episode of NXT this week.
Yeah.
Some good and some just okay. And speaking of the just okay, and that's where we start. Zack Ryder, woo woo woo, you know it, was on NXT. Why? Because he apparently is the new partner of Mojo Rawley.
He made a friend. And he's just a little hyper-ish.
Just a tad, I guess is a good way to put it. Just a tad hyper.
Hey, stay hyped, man. Stay hyped.
As I wrote on my notes, lots of taunting and yelling. Nothing special early. Mojo was being Mojo for a lot of it. We had Samson and Wallace wear their bones. They try to work over a rider, but really no luck. Broski boot. There was a little bit of distraction. Samson and Wallace took over on rider. Apparently Mojo has fans in the crowd because they were all wearing a shirt. Yay! Go NXT fans. Mojo got a hot tag. Ran wild with splashes in the corner. Hit the pounce. And then the double team Rough Rider for your win. Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder. And they celebrated in the crowd. Apparently Gronkowski was in the crowd. Though they never showed him, but they said it on commentary. I don't know. He celebrated with people.
He did celebrate with people. He had people there. Like, the Mojo section was there tonight.
Yay! I don't know. You just look at Mojo and he's all energetic and it's like, take a chill pill, dude. Just calm it down a little bit.
Calm thyself.
Yeah, it's just, he's a little too hyped for me.
A little too hyped?
A little too hyped. It's like, chill out, dude, I got it. Okay, you're hyped, I got it. Just bring it back a little. And apparently they're like in back in the 90s with the references and I don't know. It's Ryder and Mojo as a team. It's going to be interesting.
It should be interesting.
I'm
kind of looking forward to it.
We'll see what happens. We had a very interesting video package for promoting the July 4th show with Finn Balor, where he went from in the suit to the demon.
That was an awesome little promo. Ever put that together? Well done to you.
Yeah, well done.
That was some nice editing work.
We had a Dana Brooke hype video. She started out reading tweets. I thought the whole video was going to be her reading tweets, but it wasn't. It was a hype video. Yay! She'll be back coming soon. We had Emma taking on...
Blue Pants!
Yes, and they fans were chanting, happy birthday to Blue Pants.
Because it was her birthday.
It was her birthday when they taped the show. She was, they even, which wasn't shown on the show, they actually sung happy birthday to her.
Aww.
She mocked the Emma dance. Emma dominated mainly for this entire match. There was a Blue Pants Rocks chant. Emma basically took out her frustrations, couple rolled by Blue Pants, but mainly Emma was in control. She missed an elbow, Blue Pants made a comeback. Emma cut her off, locked in the Emma lock for the win. Your winner, Evil Emma.
Poor Blue Pants. She went back to the clearance rack. Again.
Aww.
Fail. There will become a day where Blue Pants will get her actual name and we're not going to know who she is because she'll have a name and she won't be Blue Pants. But she will always be Blue Pants to us.
Yes. Yes, she will. We then heard from Enzo, Big Cass, and Carmella.
It is the scoundrels that were hanging on his hands on the ropes, swipes the floor, he falls in for the worst. All they do is shoot down dirty, dirty
guys,
people.
I've just been informed that you'll be competing against Blake, Murphy, and Alexa next week in a 6-person mixed tag match. How do you feel about that?
Seven, Blake and Murphy, all pathetic pigs.
Damn right.
Okay, and they not only cheat, but they have to use a chick to beat my boys? That's embarrassing. Okay, and then Alexa wants to call me trash. She wants to call my boys trash. She's the one walking around here with red hair now. It looks like her freaking head is on fire, okay? Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss, the girl on fire. It's like the game maker just dropped Surrender Unstoppable. Psh, came to ruin your day, Mark and Jay. Well, guess what? If this was the Hunger Games, she wouldn't last one night, all right? Neither would the Sweet Boys, because they got the life expectancy of a snowman in the sun. We rep our district like a barbell, okay? If she grew up where we grew up, if they grew up where we grew up, send them to go live with Uncle Phil. How you doing?
The term, don't take this the wrong way, has a 0% success rate. But Blake and Murphy, don't take this the wrong way, but you cowards, you liars, you cheaters, and quite frankly, you look ridiculous. And this place would be a whole lot better if you weren't around anymore. And we are going to take care of that next week. How you doing?
Bye-bye.
Call him an Uber. Yeah, tell you what, I got plenty of time, all right? I got no time for this.
Interesting promo, don't you say?
Never, never, ever mess with a northern girl. Just saying, they will mess you up.
Can't mess with a northern girl, a southern girl, a western girl, an eastern girl.
Just don't mess with girls, but Carmella was hot. She was pissed. She's ready to take Alexa Bliss's face off.
Yeah.
Enzo made a bunch of references.
Yeah, he did.
And Cass was like calmly raging. Like they are ready to mess Bliss, Blake, and Murphy up.
And it happens next week in a 6-person tag.
Yep, this should be interesting, y'all.
I'm trying to figure out how to explain what happens next. Other than it's Tyler Breeze versus Bull Dempsey.
White Love Child!
Thank you. Bull was in control early, worked over Breeze. Bull runs over Breeze, goes to the top rope, Tyler Breeze rolls out. Tyler Breeze starts running around the ring, Bull Dempsey starts chasing him. Bull Dempsey gets winded. As Lindsay was watching it, commented, what?
I don't recall what the exact words were, but it's like, wait, what? So is it because he's fat?
It was something about his nipples.
Oh, why is he pinching his nipples?
Yeah, that was it.
I don't remember all the random stuff you say, or I say. You have to remind me.
I know, and that's what I did. Anyway, but then there was more running, more winded. He's like, oh, I'm all right. Breeze rolls him in the ring. Beauty shot. 1, 2, 3. Tyler Breeze went. Oh, good lord. What are they doing to Bull Dempsey?
I don't really know. I mean, I'm not sure I like the body shaming. I'm not sure I like the fact that they're making it because he's fat, because he's really not. Like, that's the thing. You look at Bull Dempsey, and he's stocky, but he's not fat. It's not like he has a gut hanging over or anything like that. I mean, he's really actually in pretty good shape. So them being like, oh yeah, you know, he's out of whim because he's fat, or he doesn't eat right, or whatever, it's, I'm not sure I'm okay with that. Like, I get they have to do something with him, but I'm not sure this is the right thing.
We'll hear more from him here in a minute. Up next, it was Becky Lynch taking on Jessie. Lynch with a few arm drags, drop kick early on. Jessie kicked her in the face, took control, working over the left arm and neck area of one Becky Lynch. Jessie mocked Becky, got rolled up, 2 count. Becky fights back, clothesline, drop kick, suplex on the arm, running leg drop, 2 count. Becky wrapped her up, dropped her. She like wrapped her entire body just and dropped her. I don't know what you would call it, but it was kind of awesome. And then locked in her arm bar for the win. Your winner, Becky Lynch. Again, really digging the new look and confidence of Becky Lynch.
Yeah, she's found herself in this look and this gimmick. You can tell that she's extremely comfortable. She's confident. She's loving what she's doing. And it shows. You know, she is herself in what she's doing right now. And it just emanates from her. I'm loving it. Like I said, I want to dye my hair orange because it looks awesome on her. Probably look like crap on me, but it's like, it's just the confidence she has from just the whole look is amazing.
Yeah, she's found herself now, which is good.
Yay.
We then heard from William Regal.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is a historic occasion here on NXT. The great Samoa Joe will make his in-ring debut, and I've allowed the NXT champion, Kevin Owens, to be sat at commentary. And also,
you want to see me, Mr. Regal?
Well, actually, yes. I think you may have a problem.
If this is about earlier tonight, I can explain. I know I got a little tired, and I was doing really well up until that part at the end where I lost, but I was up all night training, so I didn't get much sleep. I was really, really tired today. It will not happen again. I promise.
Listen, Flower. You need to get your act together. Now, if you'll excuse me.
He picked chocolate out of his gear.
It's so gross! Like, dude, you're all hot and sweaty and nasty and you've got freaking chocolate hidden in your trunks? Like, what? That's so nasty. At least have the candy bar closed. Like, that's the thing. It wasn't even sealed. It was open. Like, it was just open and ready for him to eat. Like, that's disgusting. I'm sorry. It is. That's just really nasty and gross because you're covered with sweat and oil and dirt and everything else from the ring, and you've got chocolate freaking pressed against your body. Like, ew. No. Bad Wyatt Love Child. Bad, bad Wyatt Love Child. Let me go find your fathers.
Well, Jason Jordan is looking for a new tag team partner.
Joining me now is Jason Jordan. And Jason, last week things didn't quite go the way you expected.
Greg, so. I know. I was in the match. My tag team partner, he didn't work out. But like I said, I've always got a game plan. And I'm pretty sure this next one's going to work out. I have a new tag team partner.
A new partner?
No, Chad Gable, it is not you.
Gable,
listen. What do you want?
Okay. I'm not the type of guy to say I told you so, right? But I told you. So, when you're ready, when you realize it's time that I'm your man, I'll be here. And I'll be ready, willing, and Gable.
Look at that.
Look what I did.
Really?
Here, have it. Have it.
Where do you keep getting these?
Wonder who he's found. We'll have to see.
Gable seems pretty sure of himself.
Gable wants to be the partner. Jordan, not so much. We then had Baron Corbin. Oh my god, I was bored taking on Angelo Dawkins. Sorry, I was bored.
Yeah. Baron, I love you, but I need more from...
He's a guy who's doing a power gimmick who doesn't look all that powerful, at least to me. It's like, either get guys in a ring he can actually toss around, or work a different style. That's just me being critical of a guy in developmental, but it was the same thing with Rhino. It was like, he tried tossing a guy around when he's not all that powerful to do it. He has the look of a power guy, but he doesn't have the strength of a power guy.
Yeah, it's just, I need more from Baron Corbin. I don't know what they can do with him at this point, but I need more.
Corbin won with End of Days. Then it was,
yay.
Then it was main event time, Samoa Joe taking on Scott Dawson, Kevin Owens was on commentary. Power battle between both men, Owens was mocking Rich and, you know, should get you a John Cena shirt. You wear his John Cena shirt, mocking him a bunch throughout the commentary. He was rubbing Byron Saxon's head at one point too. Joe unloaded on Dawson with Dawson Wright. Big shots in the corner by Joe. Slammed him hard. And then hit the muscle buster for the win. Samoa Joe.
Joe looked good. He looked trim. He was moving well. He put on a very slow, methodical match. But it's like he walked out there and he honestly looked like he was just going to mess you up.
And Joe looked in good shape.
He did. He really did. Joe looked really good. Owens was amazing on commentary. Like, you know, you expect anything less from him.
And then we heard from Samoa Joe.
Kevin Owens! Where do you think you're going? You see, unless my ears deceive me, the last time you were in here, you said if I would step in this ring with you, you'd drop me just like that. But it's funny because when I stepped in this ring, you did what you're doing right now, and you ran away. Kevin, so why don't you do what you say you are? Why don't you be a good man? Get in this ring and give the world the fight they want to see.
First of all, Joe, I don't really run anywhere. Second of all, there are two reasons why I'm not going in that ring right now. The first is because I am a good man, and I feel like dropping you after your first match in NXT would be very unpleasant to you. So you should thank me. The second reason is that, see, You're a bit of a rookie here in NXT, but as a veteran, let me tell you that you can't just walk in here and get an NXT title match after one match. You have to earn those things, and you simply haven't done that.
Hypocrite.
I mean a hypocrite. It's a valid statement by the champ. He makes the rules around here.
Yeah, as if Kevin Owens didn't do the same thing.
General Manager William Regal.
Kevin, I totally understand you. I mean, Samoa Joe, he definitely hasn't earned the right to a title shot. No. But he has earned the right to fight. And so next week, Kevin Owens, you will face Samoa Joe.
Wow. My goodness, the calendar for the NXT champion just got awfully full.
Well, there we go. We got it. Next week, Joe versus Owen.
Thank you, Regal.
Yeah, so there you go. Good stuff. So next week, we got a big six-person tag, and Joe versus Owens won.
Hey, that's going to be so damn good.
Can't wait.
Seriously can't wait. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you so much.
But that'll do it for NXT.
It will. So, well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to the one, the only, the one half of the addiction, I should say, Christopher Daniels. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Joining us right now is the man who has gone from being a bad influence to a full-on addiction. He's one half of the ROH Tag Team Champions, Christopher Daniels. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. Like chocolate cake. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, chocolate cake is awesome, and so are you.
Darn right.
So, I have to know, you won an award at the Cauliflower Alley Club this year. Have you found a nice spot for it yet?
It is on my mantelpiece, surrounded by all the other myriad of awards I've won over the course of my career. So, it's in good company.
It's in good company?
Yes.
So, all right. Well, you're here to talk to us today all about your upcoming appearances with Ring of Honor, including the Dream Match. Everybody's talking about it. You and Frankie versus Joe and AJ.
Yep.
Are you excited for it?
Absolutely. We've traveled together, myself, Frankie, Joe, and AJ. In one way, shape, or form, the four of us have traveled and shared locker rooms for more than a decade. But this will be the first time, and now the only time, that all four of us have ever been in the same match. So I know I'm looking forward to it. I know Frankie's looking forward to it. So and I know that, more importantly, the Ring of Honor fan base is looking forward to it. It's one match, as far as I know.
So, with it being one of Joe's last indie appearances and his last appearance in ROH, is there more pressure on you guys to put on a great match, or because you guys know each other so well, you're just going to kind of go in there and do your thing?
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, I think the pressure that's there is self-inflicted. Like, we know what we're capable of. We know how good Frankie and I know how good of a team we are, and we know that despite the fact that Joe and AJ don't really tag or aren't really considered a full-time tandem, like, we know how good they are as well. So I know how good we can make this match. And so any pressure that we have is completely self-inflicted. It's self-imposed by us.
Right.
We want to go out there and make a match that people are going to remember for years. And I think there's definitely, especially now that Joe's future is sort of more concrete, it's good to know that this will be like the last Ring of Honor match that he has, and it's a way for all of the three of us to sort of.
So is it weird for you that he signed with WWE? Or are you excited for him? Or I mean, kind of what are your thoughts on that?
I'm thrilled for him. I'm happy for him, and I'm glad that he's sort of paving a way for a lot of different people. I think in the next year or so, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are sort of following that same lead. And truthfully, like, Joe wasn't the first one. When Kevin Owens went to the WWE, or when Finn Balor went to the WWE, I feel like there's a lot more guys that are going to be brought to the WWE, whether it's through NXT or directly to the main roster. I think there are going to be a lot of guys that have been on the independents that have been honing their craft for a while that are finally going to get that opportunity to be there. So I'm thrilled for him. You know, Joe's been one of my best friends for a long time, and you can't help but be happy and be proud of someone who's worked as hard as he has to finally get that opportunity to show the world on the main stage what kind of professional wrestler that he is.
Right. And do we think we could see you follow suit soon?
I've never said never. I don't. Right now, I'm sort of I'm full-time committed to Ring of Honor, but I mean, I don't know what the future holds in terms of that. So all I can say is wait and see.
Well, you mentioned another great ROH champion in Kevin Owens, and, you know, he's made his debut. He's kind of in between rosters right now, where he's on his way up to the main roster. How do you feel about him? Do you think he's going to do okay? Do you think they're not maybe doing what they're supposed to with him? Or
I think he's doing just fine. It would be really hard pressed to find someone who debuted on the WWE main roster as successfully as he has in the past, you know, 10 years, I think. I mean, you name anybody whose first WWE match, like main roster match, was a pinfall victory over John Cena. I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone other than Kevin that's done that.
Right. Especially in the spectacular fashion that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with you going to ROH and you've kind of left TNA and moved forward, do you feel that you've been given more freedom in the ring with ROH?
I think so. I think that definitely Frankie and I, both of us have been, given the freedom to sort of do what we can do best. And, especially in the last couple months, with the angle with the KRD and what's happened with us in the World Tag Team Championship, I feel like we're finally kind of showing what we can do best. And with such a deep tag team roster like Red Dragon and the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice and the Decade, like I feel like there's a lot of fresh matches for us with us as the tag team champions and us as heels again. I feel like there's a lot of possibilities for great matchups. And I'm looking forward to all of them.
I was going to say, you've got another matchup on June 19th at Best in the World with Red Dragon.
Right, for the Best in the World pay-per-view, for a no disqualification match. And, like, we've had a lot of matches with Red Dragon already, but I feel like now that the story's turned with us with the championships, I feel like there's a whole new chapter that we can write. And, you know, those guys are one of the best tag teams in the world. And, you know, I feel like we're a great antagonist for those guys. So I feel like no matter what happens on June 19th, I feel like there's a lot more that we can do as well in the story between the Addiction and Red Dragon.
Absolutely. And would you say this has been a more fun run for you? Because I know you were in ROH before, and then you obviously went to TNA, and now you're back. Has this been a more fun, better run for you, or have they been kind of equal?
They've been kind of equal. I will say that the positive to this is having Frankie with me. You know, when I was here, when I was in Ring of Honor in 2010, 2011, I left the company as the television champion doing a lot of single stuff. But this time having Frankie with me, and this is really Frankie's first long-term exposure with Ring of Honor, I feel like we fit in really well. And I'm real happy that Frankie's had that opportunity. One of the things, like when we left TNA, I knew that there was a possibility that I could go back to Ring of Honor. I didn't necessarily know that there would be a full-time spot, you know, just because I had the history. It didn't necessarily mean that there was room for me, because that locker room is so full of talented guys and guys that are passionate about, you know, making their names on that national scale that Ring of Honor has. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a spot for me, and I certainly didn't know if there was going to be a spot for me and Frank, but, we were both very fortunate that Ring of Honor had that spot for us, and I feel like we've filled that spot very well. And now that we're the World Tag Team Champions of the world, like I said, there's a lot of fresh matchups for us as the champions, a lot of great challengers for the tag titles, and I think that the tag team scene in Ring of Honor is just now heating up now that we're in the spot that we're in.
And you're going to get even more exposure as ROH has now moved to Destination America. In addition to being on Sinclair, you guys are now on Destination America. Were you excited when that announcement happened? Or
absolutely. I feel like one of the things that I wanted to see happen coming back to Ring of Honor, you know, as strong as the syndication with Sinclair has been, I felt like one of the difficulties was trying to let people know, like, a uniform time and date that Ring of Honor could be on. Like, usually, you know, you'd say check your local listings or check the syndicated, but now we can tell people if they want to watch Ring of Honor, go to Destination America Wednesdays at 8/7 Central. So I feel like we've opened up a lot of new eyes on our product. In addition to the amount of eyes that we had through the syndication, I just feel like this opens up more doors for us, and it gets a lot more people aware of us. And that's definitely a great thing for Ring of Honor.
Is it weird to be competing or be the lead-in for TNA on Destination America?
No, absolutely not. I feel like, you know, the comparisons between Ring of Honor and TNA, you know, whatever creatively, whatever, you know, whatever path that both companies have taken in the last, you know, 13, 14 years, one of the similarities has always been that they've both always had great locker rooms full of great talent, and talent that's always wanted to, you know, make a statement, make an impact, no pun intended, on the wrestling scene. So, I mean, you know, the fact that we're now on the same night and that we're at 8 o'clock and they're at 9 o'clock, it's really a win-win situation, not just for both companies, but also for the wrestling. I feel like, you know, the people that have always wanted an alternative to the WWE product, you know, now they've got it all in one spot. They've got it on Destination America on Wednesday night. And, you know, in addition to the great guys that we've got, get a chance to see guys like Eric Young and Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, who are, you know, friends of mine, and I'm always happy to see their success grow.
Absolutely. Now, switching gears slightly, do you think that social media is an effective tool to promote wrestling storylines?
I don't know about wrestling storylines. I certainly feel like it's a great way to get more people aware of what might be happening on a show. But sometimes it's difficult to, you know, push a storyline as a character when on social media people assume that you're speaking as the real person. So, I mean, sometimes it's hard to blur those lines between wrestling character and, you know, the person that you are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I personally find it, I don't like to speak in a wrestling character, so to speak. Like I'll certainly poke fun or do something in character, but I don't necessarily, you know, cut wrestling promos, through Twitter or on my Facebook. I just feel like sometimes it feels forced.
Right. And it may not be understood.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you see how often people are misconstrued or words are taken out of context, just in regular life, in regular interviews and things like that. But I mean, imagine at 140 characters how easy it is to misunderstand the intention of people talking on Twitter. So
absolutely. And now kind of shifting back to ROH, is there anybody that you're looking forward to getting in the ring with? I mean, aside from Red Dragon and aside from Joe and AJ, is there like another team that you're super excited to face?
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is in the last year, we've had the opportunity to wrestle pretty much everybody in the tag team division in Ring of Honor. But having said that, I feel like the difference now is as champions, there's a whole different mindset. So I'm really looking forward to going back around the horn, so to speak. But at the same time, like one of the teams that I think is going to open a lot of eyes on the American team, they've already done so in Japan, is Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta. We had a three-way match on the last pay-per-view that we had, the War of the Worlds pay-per-view. And I feel like it's just a matter of them getting more bookings with Ring of Honor in the States that I think people are going to understand that Rocky and Trent are another great tag team, one of many in Ring of Honor. So those guys are definitely guys that I hope we get an opportunity to work one team versus one team in the future.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. So do you have a favorite Samoa Joe or AJ Styles memory that you wouldn't mind sharing with us since, you know, the big match on the 20th is coming up?
Well, it's hard to say. Like, honestly, the entire last decade of being, you know, being close with AJ, being close with Joe, being close with Frankie like we are, I mean, the four of us, you know, we spent a lot of time in the TNA locker room. We spent a lot of time on the road. And now the last couple of years, you know, we've had the opportunity to travel, you know, in and out of each other's lives. So, I mean, honestly, that whole period of time, like, I look back and know that my friendships and my relationships with those three guys really supported me through my career, definitely helped me out. As far as matches go, I mean, I certainly have to say, like, the match, the first three-way match that we did, that Joe and AJ and I did at TNA, you know, that certainly stands out, but that's one of, like, 100 great matches that I feel like either Joe, AJ, myself, or a myriad of the three of us have had. So, I mean, it's hard to narrow it down to one memory. Just the entire time has been a great memory for me, knowing that those guys are my friends and have my back whenever I need them.
Right. And that's awesome to be able to have friends like that, especially in what you do, because sometimes it could be really cutthroat and people aren't necessarily looking out for you. They're looking out for yourselves. So it's nice to have those kind of people around you.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. And I've had being in the rings with AJ and Joe in the last, you know, decade, that's certainly given me that opportunity to have more people aware of our product and aware of our skills, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, when people talk about, TNA or Ring of Honor, they're talking about guys like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and the matches that I've had with both of those guys. It's usually high on the list of what people remember, whether it's Ring of Honor or TNA.
Right. I can agree with that. So I want to completely shift gears because I know you're a comic book guy, and I live in Atlanta, and they've been shooting Marvel Captain America Civil War here.
Oh, okay.
So I want to know what your thoughts are on the rumors that Spider-Man may be appearing in Civil War.
I think it's awesome. The past with Marvel, going bankrupt in the past, sort of selling off the rights to the characters to Fox. At the time it was great for Marvel because it ended up having the X-Men movies with the first two Bryan Singer movies and, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man stuff. But I feel like, with the success of Marvel's stuff through the Marvel Studios, all the Avengers movies, I feel like, it's in the best interest for the characters and for Marvel as a whole to have the possibility to have all of the characters at their disposal. So, it's very cool for the idea that Spider-Man's going to be in Civil War, that, maybe the X-Men will come back around and do stuff with the Avengers. These are all great possibilities that if you're a comic book fan, it just gets you really excited to think that you might be able to see something on the movie screen that you'd only previously read about in the comic book.
Right. Now, which Spidey would you like to see in your mind, who would you like to see play him?
Oh, I don't, I thought Andrew Garfield did a really great job in the last two Spider-Man movies. And I think that the way that the last two movies were, it really harkened back to sort of the Ultimate Spider-Man more than, like, to me, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man was more like the regular Marvel Universe Spider-Man. And the last two, The Amazing Spider-Man and, one and two that Mark Webb directed, I felt like those were a lot more like the Ultimate Spider-Man. So it depends. I'm not sure what route they're going to go when they do, if they put Spider-Man into these, when they put him into these movies. And I'm not even sure who's going to play him. Hear the rumors of, the kid from Ender's Game as Azza Butterfield. So I have no idea who they finally decided on, and, it'll be interesting to see who they pick and how they progress.
Definitely. And just kind of one last question. What were your thoughts on Age of Ultron? Have you seen it yet?
I did. I saw it twice the weekend it came out. So,
wow.
I really dug it. I really dug it. I thought it was really good stuff. And, I thought it was going to be very difficult to be as good as the first one. And I don't think it was, but I certainly thought that it definitely, stood up next to it. And I thought it was a really great second movie. And, the way they ended with sort of a new roster, it sort of opened a lot of new doors for the third one. And, actually the third and fourth one, the Infinity War, has come in a couple of years. So it'll be interesting to see where they go now that they've sort of ended what they call phase two and they're moving on to phase three. It'll be interesting to see like what progresses through not just the Captain America movie, the Thor movie, the next whatever Iron Man stuff comes through, but also the Avengers stuff and the stuff that has even things like Doctor Strange and the Ant-Man and things like that. It'll be interesting to see how all this sort of ties together in the future.
Right. And I'm looking forward to it. Sounds like you're looking forward to it too.
Absolutely.
So Chris, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today, everybody. Don't forget, you can see Christopher Daniels and his partner Frankie Kazarian in action live on pay-per-view June 19th for Best in the World, along with seeing them compete in the Dream Tag Team match on June 20th against AJ Styles and Samoa Joe at Aftershock TV tapings in New York City. So, Chris, once again, thank you so much.
Thanks again for having me. I appreciate it. And thanks for everybody for listening and for the support. I appreciate it.
And best of luck to you.
Thanks very much. I don't need it, but thank you.
You're welcome. Once again, a huge thank you to Christopher Daniels for joining us tonight. Always a pleasure to speak with him. And, well, speaking of pleasures, this has been an absolute pleasure, but I think we're done.
Yeah, I believe we are done for the evening. As you mentioned, Christopher Daniels was amazing. He was awesome. As awesome as chocolate, apparently.
Chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake, right. That's what I said, chocolate cake.
Which is pretty awesome. I'll still take an apple teeny, though.
Yeah, an apple teeny would be all right, but chocolate cake, I want some cake now.
Damn it, Christopher Daniels.
Now I'm hungry. All right, so let's wrap this show up.
Yeah, we're going to go get some cake.
Yeah, we're going to go take, some nice chocolate cake.
So yeah, well, since we're going to run off to go get cake, y'all should run off and go visit our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Also, don't forget, check out ROH Best in the World on June 19th. And when it airs on ROH television,
hopefully,
the Dream Match.
Hopefully it airs on television. But if you are in the New York City area, go out, get tickets, see Samoa Joe in action for the final time in Ring of Honor on June 20th.
The only time this match potentially is ever going to happen. So if you have the chance, if you're a huge fan of wrestling and you want to see a great, great lineup, go on June 20th. Check this out. I promise you these guys are going to tear it down.
Yeah, they will. And, you know, there's been a lot of once in a lifetime. This one is truly once in a lifetime.
It is. So I'm jealous, so go check it out if you got the chance. If not, well, there's always YouTube, right?
Right. Speaking of YouTube, go to youtube.com/WTRRack. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at WTRRack, and on Twitter and Facebook.com/WTRRack. I'm at Wild Talk Radio. She's at Lynn's Ward. Check out all the great programming here on WildTalkRadio.com. CB Radio on Saturday. Russell Talk Radio Sunday at 11, covering Money in the Bank. And the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, every single Monday night.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LINSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward. Same as the Twitters. Like I said, go check out our very fine sponsors. But on that note, we're going to get cake. So for Rock.
Cake.
Yes, cake.
Cake.
For Rock, I'm Lindsay. Once again, thank you, Christopher Daniels. Thank all y'all for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Cake.